Last time we were in here on this series on the book of Ruth, we saw that Ruth the Moabitess has gone to the field of Boaz to glean barley. And while she was there, she met the owner of the field. She caught his eye. He made that beeline for her. She ate lunch at his table. He took her home and he served her food personally. She was blessed. And we finished our last study in verse 14 with that little word left. You'll notice that. At the end of verse 14, and he reached her a parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Ruth had, through Boaz, been provided with rest and nourishment, and she left with more than she had bargained for, more than she ever imagined she would receive. What a difference from the beginning of that day. And as we consider this passage before us, you need to try to imagine how Ruth must have felt the morning. She set out that morning to search for food. And so I'm sure she left home. She was new in Bethlehem. We've looked at this already, but she was new in Bethlehem. She was heading out. She knew no one else. And here she finds her way to this field of Boaz, not knowing who it belonged to, not knowing anything about this man, not knowing how kindly he would be to her or how willing he'd be to show her kindness or anything else. No doubt her heart was filled with anxiety, but also maybe anticipation of what would happen to her. But as we have already discovered, the day that began with uncertainty would end with joy and abundance. And that's what grace does. The Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what grace does for the sinner. We get more than we bargain for. We search for rest, and Christ gives it to us through him. The goodness and grace of God. And I'm sure we've all encountered days here like Ruth was expecting to encounter. Many times we've faced those trials of life. Things are difficult. Things are hard. We don't know what the day is going to bring forth. And maybe we're going out. We get up in the morning. We're going out to our work, whatever it is. And we think, this is one of those days and we're just going to have to endure it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. With trials, of troubles. It's just going to be one of those days. Just get through it the best we can. Just endure it. But yet by the end of that day, we have enjoyed it because the Lord has come with peace and victory and he stepped into the situation. I'm sure we've all been there. We've all had days like that. We've considered here tonight one of the most familiar passages in this book of Ruth. A little word I want to, statement I want to look at tonight is that statement in verse 16 where Boaz tells the reapers to let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And that's what we want to think on tonight. Handfuls of purpose and what this meant for Ruth and what it means for you and I, even in the meeting this evening. What we notice here is something about Boaz. Notice his graciousness. His graciousness. Ruth may have known little about the God of Israel, but she knew that there was something different about these people. She'd learned a little from her mother-in-law. There was still a certain amount of the religion of Israel even within her mother-in-law. Even though she had drifted away from the people, even though she had backslidden to go to Moab, there's still something about her. And she knew a little about the God of Israel, but she found more than she ever imagined. She found a profound lesson in grace. As she left this table, Boaz continued to work on her behalf. He's even working behind her back. She didn't even know about this. He was working behind the scenes, behind her back, to take care of her, and she didn't even realize it. Notice verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Now remember, we mentioned that God had made provision for strangers to be allowed to glean among the corners of the field. Whatever was left there, they were able to go there and to glean. And the farmers here know what it's like. If you cut silage or whatever, you can't drag it into the corner of the field. And I remember growing up on the farm at home, and the silage field, you'd get the cattle, the cows out, and they would go straight for the corners. That little bit of grass where the harvester couldn't get in to get the crop. And here's that picture, right in the corners, the leftovers of the harvest. They were allowed to go and glean those little bits and take what was left. But here we see Boaz goes further than that. And under no obligation, he wasn't obligated by the law of God to go further, to give any more than this. This is all he had to do, was to let her glean in the corners. But no, he goes a step further, and what a picture we have of the grace of God. Because he goes beyond the requirements, and he tells his reapers, his young men, let her reap wherever she pleases. That's really what he's saying. She's allowed to glean among the sheaves. Wherever she wants to go, you let her go. You see, the poor would have tried to get in. And you can imagine the reapers going through the field, that field of grain, field of wheat, and they're going in there and they're taking the crop up, and they would not allow the poor to go in front of them, because to go in front of them mean they would get the good stuff. So the poor had to stay behind the reapers, a few steps back maybe, whatever it was, and whatever's dropped there they could lift it up. But here, no. He says, let her come right up and glean where you are reaping. What he's really saying is, let Ruth glean from the finest of the wheat. You see the graciousness of Boaz? What a picture of the graciousness of Christ. How he gives us more than we ever deserve, more than we even bargained for. And to us, this may seem coincidental, but it was no accident. Do you see why she was fruitful in this field? Why she gleaned so much? It's because she was laboring under the authority and guidance of Boaz. He was behind the scenes working all things out. The decisions he made affected her life. He was working for her good, even though when she didn't realize it. And friends, how often in life the Lord is working for our good? It doesn't look like it, doesn't seem like it. We don't even know what's happening, but yet behind the scenes, the Lord is weaving all things together in our life for our good, for our eternal purpose. You see, Ruth had not merely stumbled upon a field that was owned by a compassionate and gracious man. She was led here of the Lord. He had already prepared the heart of Boaz to provide for Ruth, even though that he was unaware of God's plan. Remember that. Boaz did not know God's plan. Ruth did not know God's plan. But yet he brought these things together. And her hap was to light upon that part of the field belonging to Boaz. Read that in verse 3. And our lives are not set to run according to chance or to circumstance or just good luck. God is sovereign. God is in charge of our lives. Every small, minute detail. Working behind the scenes to bring all things together for our best. That's his sovereignty. That's his providence. And even though we don't realize it, he's working it out in our lives. And if you're going to have success tonight, Christian, I just want you to notice something here. If we're going to have success, Ruth had success here. She had success as she'd leaned in this field. Why? Because she was working on the authority and leadership and guidance of Boaz. And if we're going to have success as individual Christians or as a church, it'll only happen as we labor on the authority of Christ, as we follow his guidance, as we follow his command. If not, then all our labors will leave us empty-handed. We'll have second best. We'll not be blessed of God by doing our own thing. The arm of flesh will surely fail us. We need to be gleaning under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth was gleaning under his authority, and she was blessed. And notice verse 16. What he told them, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Boaz was not content to let Ruth simply glean where she desired. That would have been blessing enough. That would have been more than enough for Ruth to simply let her go where she desired. But notice something else. He actually told them to, on purpose, let fall grain. Let it fall on purpose. Let handfuls fall on purpose for her to pick up. Not just let her in the corners to pick up there. Not let her just glean alongside you from the wheat, but let them fall. Let them fall for her on purpose that she can pick them up. What blessings. He wanted to ensure that her needs were met. He didn't just provide a means for the blessing, but he went a step further. He actually provided the blessing for her. He wanted Ruth to get so much in this field that she wouldn't want to go anywhere else. This was more than enough. We serve a Lord who is actually concerned and actively working in our lives. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. And he expects us to live upright before him. He expects us to work and provide for ourselves of inner means. But he's not saved us and left us alone. And that would have been a wonderful enough, friends, if the Lord had saved us, forgiven our sins, and that left us like that. But no, he did more than that. He gave us all the rights and privileges of the sons of God. He adopted us into the heavenly family. He's blessed us more than we can ever begin to explain tonight. Praise God for his handful of purpose that he drops in our lives. Those times when he blesses us just because he can. And sinner tonight, if you're in this meeting, friend, and you're not saved or you're watching in online, we have a wonderful picture here of the Lord, how he doles out handfuls of purpose for you to pick up tonight, all along life's journey. Through his word and through the preaching of the gospel, as it were, he's dropping great handfuls and baskets of fresh grain, fresh gospel grain for you to glean, for you to pick up, for you to satisfy your hunger. What's the parable of the farmer? How he goes out to sow that seed. And that is the picture we have. The seed has been sown. It's been thrown out to the left and to the right. Everywhere we go, and even tonight in this meeting, under the gospel preaching, wherever it is, you're under the gospel preaching. The Lord is handing out. He's dropping handfuls of gospel seed for you to pick up. The bread of life has been provided for the needy soul. And yet so many are searching somewhere else. They're not searching in the field of grace. Even though he beckons you to come and to glean, he says, all is ready, come, receive, it's there for you. The young men here, the reapers, they represent those who preach the gospel of Christ. As Boaz commanded his young men to let fall handfuls of purpose for Ruth, even so, the preacher is commanded to, as it were, dole out those handfuls of the gospel to the sinner. Christ commands his servants who preach the gospel to let them fall, to let them present them right before the sinner so they can't miss them. This was dropped right in front of Ruth. As she walked along, they were dropping them right at her feet. She couldn't avoid it. She'd have to be blind to miss it. She couldn't avoid it. Friend, tonight as the gospel goes forth, the Lord is handing it out for you to receive. And seeking sinners here, Ruth is a picture of that seeking sinner, like the gleaner in the field. And when Ruth came into Boaz's field, she came as a gleaner seeking bread. She was looking for bread to satisfy her hunger. And as such, she's a picture of the sinner seeking the Lord to satisfy that spiritual hunger within the heart, within the soul. Remember, she was a Moabitess. She was of the accursed tribe, an accursed race, and she knew it. She had no rights except the rights of a stranger to glean in these fields. And that's exactly the sinner's nature. That is how we are described in God's word, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. That is the state of the sinner tonight. We have no rights. We have no rights but the right to pick up what God has left for sinners, the right to glean in his field. And dear friend tonight, I wonder what will you do of those handfuls of purpose? Will you just walk over them? Just avoid them? Just ignore them? You see, all this reveals a beautiful picture of grace. Why did Naomi and Elimelech leave Bethlehem in the first place? Why had Naomi made the decision to return? Well, a heart of disbelief had led her away because of the drought and the famine. And the hope of bread brought her home again. And Ruth had been reduced to a very low and poor condition. She testifies of this in verse 10 of chapter 2. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? See, she once was wealthy. She was once married to Mahlon, daughter-in-law to Elimelech. And like her, we have the picture of all Adam's sons and daughters. We are once wealthy because, in a sense, God created man upright before the fall. That's where man was. He is upright. Our father Adam possessed all God's creation and ruled over it. He is created upright in the image of God. And God gave man everything, even a righteous nature. But then man fell. And just like Ruth here, fallen man is reduced to abject poverty. No hope without God in this world. She was poor. She was hungry. She was in desperate need of help. And she humbly took her place among the poor to glean in this field. Ruth had come here to this field of Boaz in search of grain. and should not leave disappointed, should not leave empty-handed. And friend, sinner, if you come to Christ tonight, you will not leave empty-handed. Rather, you'll leave full. You'll not leave disappointed, but rather you'll leave of joy. You'll leave of everything that you ever will need. You'll have peace with God. The debt will be settled. You'll be given a home in God's glory. And here, long before Ruth ever came to this field, long before she ever set eyes on Boaz, the grain had been planted and the harvest was now ready. And what a picture of God who's made provision for the sinner. He made provision for her before she ever arrived at the place of need. And God, aware of the sinner's need, has made provision for your need. He's able to provide that and fix that need and supply you of all you need. Notice here when Ruth left that day, she left with an ephah of barley. She left with more than enough to feed her and Naomi for a week, for a full week. And friend, there's nothing that we face in life that is beyond the Lord's ability to supply. Whatever you face, whatever trial, whatever trouble, whatever persecution you face, whatever it is, an illness, a death in the family, financially, whatever it is, the Lord can supply your need. The Lord will provide. He's able. He's more than able to supply your need. Friends, often in life, we come to the Lord in the last minute out of desperation. He is, as it were, that little case that you see in the wall break in case of emergency, that fire alarm. We come in the last moment when we should be coming at the very start to Him, because He's more than able to supply our need. He's more than able to fulfill every need that we have. And there's a wonderful spiritual truth in this. Before we ever reach the place of spiritual hunger or sense or need for the Lord knew we needed a Savior, and He offered Himself. That sacrifice is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He saw our need. What a wonderful and gracious Lord we have even this evening. Here we have Boaz. We see the graciousness of this man Boaz in providing here for Ruth. And we see the graciousness of Christ in providing for the sinner. But notice something else from our text tonight. Notice the gratefulness of Ruth. The gratefulness of Ruth. She has experienced the graciousness of Boaz, and now we want to look at her response. How does she respond to this gracious offer, this gracious man? Well, God has offered provision for all, and He stands watching in a sense to see how we will respond. In verse 17, we see how she responded. So she had leaned in the field unto even, and beat out that she had leaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. This simple statement here reveals much about this woman Ruth, much about the work of Ruth. We see her eagerness here. We see her willingness to work. We see she didn't sit idly by and do nothing, but she'd leaned in the field until even. She had been presented with a wonderful opportunity, and she was not about to let it pass. She was eager to glean all she could while in the field of Boaz. He'd offer this abundant supply to her, and she took full advantage of it. Do you ever consider what is available to us in the field of God's grace as believers? More than we ever need. Has He not prepared before us a table even in the presence of our enemies, as the psalmist tells us? We have opportunity and privilege to sit at the Master's table and enjoy His goodness. We should glean in the field of grace at every opportunity, seeking all the Lord provides. Notice the effort she made here. She'd leaned until even and beat out that she had gleaned. And God had made this provision through Boaz, but her blessing did not come without effort on her part. She had to go, she had to pick it up, she had to lift it, and then she had to beat out what she had gleaned. She threshed it, so to speak. And that was done by means of a stick, where she separated the grain from the chaff and the straw. She separated the good from the bad, so to speak. She just wanted to carry the pure grain home. She didn't want any chaff. And I wonder, as we come to the Word of God, as we listen to a message from the Lord, as we listen to God's Word, do we seek to take home the straw? Do we seek to take home a word from the Lord? Do we seek to take home a message how we are to live before the Lord? Sometimes the only thing we take home is the straw. The only thing often we remember is something we don't agree with. Maybe something that the preacher said, oh, I didn't agree with that. But what about the 99% that they did agree with? Yet you focus on the 1%. And Spurgeon said, some Christians have less sense than a chicken. A hen will pick over a whole bushel of chaff to find one grain of wheat. But some believers will pick over a whole bushel of wheat to find a little bit of chaff. And here Ruth was, she had been given this opportunity to glean, and she beat it out. She wanted the best. She wanted the best for her soul. She wanted the best to satisfy her need. And friends, you only get out of the Word of God what you put into it, so to speak. If you don't work, you can't expect to be blessed. If you don't spend time in God's Word, you can't expect to grow. You only beat out that which you'd glean from the Word, just like Ruth here beat out what you'd glean from Boaz's field. Are you like the Berean Christians of whom it is said they received the Word of all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so? You see, many desire the blessing of the Lord, but they're not prepared to work for it. They're not prepared to put the effort in, as Ruth was here. And many desire, they wonder why the Lord's not blessing, wonder why they're not growing spiritually, and yet they never seek to glean from the Word. There's no effort made to spend time delving into God's Word, learning from Him. No prayer entered into before they come to church, before they come to listen to God's Word. Never think of saying, Lord, speak to my heart today. Give me a message. Dear Christian, without effort, there will be no effectiveness. Without that hunger for the Word, there'll never be any holiness. Ruth was prepared to work here. God expects effort on behalf of His people. If we are to receive God's goodness, we must be willing to do our part to receive it. We must be willing to work. The Lord has never, ever blessed laziness, and He never will. Ruth went to the field of Boaz that day, hoping to find any means of provision. Little did she know she would leave with an abundant supply. You see, friends, little is much when God is in it. And God blessed this dear woman. He blessed her more than she could ever imagine. The ephah was about half bushel, more than enough to provide for her and Naomi for a week. Is about 25 pounds weight. A massive amount. She went looking for one meal. Remember that. She went looking for one meal and returned with enough to feed them for a whole week. The Lord blesses. And Christian, Ephesians 1 and 3 tells us how our heavenly Boaz is determined to bless his people also. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are blessed tonight. We're blessed. More than we ever know, and He doesn't stop to bless us. He blesses us now, but He'll even bless us in eternity, because Ephesians 2 and 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. What blessings we have received. What blessings Ruth received from Boaz. What blessings we received. She was so grateful, and so grateful. Notice something else here in her gratefulness. Notice she expressed this to others in verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Imagine this stir in Bethlehem when Naomi and Ruth had arrived back from Moab. Ruth was not known among the people. They didn't know her. They knew Naomi, but they didn't know Ruth. But I'm sure that people got to know this girl. The stories went round, the gospel went round. And you can see Ruth here returning from this field with this big bag of grain, 25-pound bag of grain upon her shoulder. And she's walking across the city, and every eye's turning, they're nudging and saying, look, there's Ruth coming. What has she got? Where has she been? Where did she get this bag of grain? Whose field was she in? Is she not an undeserving Gentile? Who gave her that? I'm sure Ruth's gleaning didn't go unnoticed to those around her. But they could also see that she had received a blessing by just watching her go past. As they looked on her, they could say, obviously someone has done this for her. Obviously someone has blessed her. Obviously someone has given this to her, given her the opportunity to glean and get this. And I think Boaz might have been making a statement to the community here. That sack of grain was his way of saying, I've got my eye on Ruth, I'm determined to bless this girl. I'm going to bless her life. And friends, we have a picture there of how God blesses our lives so that we show a lost world how he's blessed us. He blesses his people in order to create a desire in the hearts of those who don't know him. As they look on the Christian's life, they should see a life that is blessed of God. A life that is lived for God. Never ever moan and complain and ridicule God's house or God's men or other Christians in front of the ungodly, in front of the unsaved. Sadly, we see it on Facebook all the time, and it's a pet hate of mine. I made a pact when I went to college that I would never comment on Facebook, and I've kept to it so far. It's hard at times because you watch something up and people are arguing and you mightn't agree with them, but over Facebook. And the ungodly are watching and they're just laughing. One Christian attacking another Christian, that's not scriptural. If you go to Matthew, where to bring your problems to your brother face to face, not over Facebook for the world to see. It's not an example of how the Lord has blessed us, tearing each other down, ridiculing one another over Facebook or social media. But rather, we are to live a life that shows that the Lord has blessed us. We're joyful, we're happy, we're blessed. And as Ruth carried this bag of grain through that town, a pagan, a Moabitess, one who's been brought into the house of God, so to speak, who's turned, who left her sin behind, has left her religion behind, come to trust in Jehovah. She's walking through that town with this on her back, saying, look at me. I'm changed. I'm blessed of God. The Lord has blessed me. She was given her, in a sense, she was given her testimony. What does Matthew 5 and 16 tell us? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm sure it was the same for some of you when you got saved. People said, did hear so-and-so get saved? They become religious. That's the usual term, isn't it? They become religious. They went to some mission. They're born again now. Oh, I remember them. They used to go to the pub. They used to swear. What has happened to them? They've changed. They're not the same person they once were. They seem to be happy now. They seem to be content. They're going to church. They have a Bible under their arm. What a change in that person's life. And here are these people looked upon Ruth, walking through the streets of Bethlehem with that stack of grain upon her shoulder. It showed to them that Ruth had been changed, that she'd been blessed of God. Ruth was eager to share what she had received. Look at the second part of verse 18. And she brought forth and gave to her, that is Naomi, that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Ruth had more than she needed, and she was able to share her abundance even after she was satisfied herself. She shared it with Naomi. She shared what she had received with Naomi. She had been blessed. She had worked hard for this until sundown. She had gleaned the field into evening. She had beat out what she had gleaned. She went home struggling with this weight of this grain upon her back, more than she needed. And then when she got home, I can imagine Naomi, as Ruth walked in through the door, and she looked at this bag of grain upon her shoulder and went, well, where did you get that? That's amazing. I can't believe how much you've got. Where did you get such a sack of grain? Whose field were you in that allowed you to get all this stuff? And you can imagine Ruth saying, well, I just happened to be in the field of Boaz. And Naomi goes, what? Who? Did you say Boaz? Were you in the field of Boaz? Do you know who this man is? And you can always picture Naomi working these things together. It's as if she has Ruth and Boaz at the altar and married already. She's putting it all together. Do you know who this is? This man's not just powerful. This man is a near relative. He's one of our close relatives. He's a kinsman redeemer. He can provide everything you need and more than enough. He's in a position to help you. He can redeem you. And friends, what a picture of Christ. He's given us more than we ever need. And as Naomi realizes the field that Ruth was in, she realizes, yes, this is it. We have been provided for by Almighty God. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one that is able to fulfill our need. We don't need to look anywhere else. You've arrived at Boaz's field, that's it. You've got the one. And friends, when you have Christ, you won't need anyone else. He'll be enough to satisfy your need. He'll provide what you need for your soul. And have we not received far more than we deserve? Ruth didn't deserve this. And Naomi realized they didn't deserve it. They'd left Judah to go to, or Bethlehem to go to Moab in the first place. They didn't deserve this, but yet the Lord was merciful. The Lord is merciful. Are we not wealthy in the Lord? Has the Lord not provided all that we need? He provided for Ruth and Naomi. And what a privilege it is to share our wealth with those around us. What wealth have we got? Well, it's a spiritual wealth. And we ought to share the gospel of those around us. My Lord, stir our hearts to do so. And after we see all that's happened here in these few verses, after Ruth has come to Boaz's field and these handfuls of purpose are thrown out to her, we need to remember that all that's taken place before these handfuls of purpose were handed out to her, and how the Lord had worked behind the scenes even before we read this story. Because for this to happen, other things had to take place. God's curse upon Moab because of Lot's incest. Elimelech's sin in leaving Bethlehem, Judah, to go to Moab. The loss of all in Moab, the Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, losing all they had, their widowhood. And then Naomi being a faithful mother-in-law to tell her and bring her back even to the place of bread again. All those things had to take place before these handfuls of purpose were given out to Ruth. And it's the same in all our lives. The Lord is working so many different things all together that we don't know half of it, and won't know even till we get to glory what the Lord has been doing in our lives. These things had to take place to bring Ruth to this point. And friend, even here tonight, the Lord has worked so many different things for you to sit under the gospel. He's worked it all out to bring you here and to listen to this word tonight. And just as Boaz took special notice of Ruth before she saw him, the Lord Jesus took special notice of sinners like us before the world even began. As Boaz commanded his young men to not to touch Ruth, so Christ has so commanded that no one will touch his people, his chosen. We're under his special protection. And as Boaz provided these handfuls of purpose just for Ruth, so the Lord rules and commands these things, these handfuls of purpose for his people. Oh, here we have the gospel seed being thrown out here before us even tonight. The Lord is doling it out step by step all along the pathway of your life as you wander along your life's road. Every opportunity has been given. Whether it's a gospel track, whether someone spoke to you, where you sat under the gospel in a meeting or a mission, you read a verse of scripture in the Bible, time and time again, those handfuls of purpose are being handed out to you. And rather than you stop and glean and lift up what has been given to you, you've just walked on past. And even more than that, you've trampled it into the ground. That good seed, you've put your foot on it, and as it were, you've trampled it into the ground, because if you reject Christ, that's simply what you're doing tonight. What the Lord has provided, you're just simply saying, I don't want it. You've put your foot on it, you've walked on rather than gleaning in the field of grace from the handfuls of purpose that have been provided for your needy soul. You've walked on and you're wandering around the fields of this world, thinking that church or good works or self-righteousness and all these things will suffice your soul. Well, friend, if you're laboring in that field tonight, stop right now. Just simply turn your back on it and walk straight out of that field and walk into the field of grace. Well, the Lord has provided your every need, the handfuls of purpose. He's given the Savior. He's there. If you just repent of your sin and trust in him, all has been provided through the cross work of Christ. You need look no further than him this evening. Wonderful, wonderful picture we have even in this verse and in that little statement. How those handfuls of purpose were dropped for Ruth. They're dropped for needy sinners even tonight. May you find them. May you grab them. May you turn to Christ, who alone can save your needy soul. Lord, speak even through his word tonight to all our hearts, and encourage us even and bless us through the ministry of his living and breathing word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee afresh for thy word to our souls this evening. We thank you for this little book of Ruth. We thank you for the instruction we find in it. We thank you for the gospel picture we find throughout it, even as we gaze upon our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. The graciousness of Christ in giving his life for us, he's provided all that we need, even to make peace with thee. Oh Lord, there's a spiritual hunger tonight, even among many in this land, and they're searching, they cannot find peace in the things of the world. Oh, may they be directed to the fields of grace, where they'll find those handfuls of purpose that have been dropped even for them now. Father, write thy word upon each one of our hearts. Lord, be with us even throughout this week, and bless us, thy people. Encourage us in the things of God. Keep us walking close to thee. Keep us separated from the things of the world. And Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon every witness of the gospel, even over this time. We do think even of the gospel open-air witness, even in the city tomorrow night. Bless those men, Lord, that will preach the word. And Lord, may even sinners be turned to Christ, even as the light of the gospel is shone in the midst of such worldly darkness. O Father, bless us now. Part us with thy fear and with thy favor. We ask and pray it all in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.